If you'd like to listen to the Daily Blast, plus all of our other DSR content without ads, please consider becoming a member. In addition to no ads, members receive bonus content for virtually all of our shows, an invitation to join the DSR Slack community, access to our Discord community, and enhanced show notes for select shows. For this week only, get 50% off the first year or first month of membership. Visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy and use code GREG to receive the discount. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy and code GREG. Thank you very much for your support.
This is the Daily Blast from the New Republic, produced and presented by the DSR Network. I'm your host, Greg Sargent.
This week, Politico reported that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been making a huge number of appearances on Fox News, Newsmax, and other right-wing media sources that are in the tank for Donald Trump. As the report noted, Trump advisors are now loudly being quoted warning that in so doing, RFK threatens to take votes away from Trump and not President Biden. We think some serious skepticism is in order here. Trump's team may be worried that RFK could poach some voters from him, but we still think it's more likely that in the end, RFK hurts Biden more than Trump. And on that score, there are cynical reasons why right-wing media sources might be boosting RFK right now. To demystify all this, today we're talking to Matt Bennett, a co-founder of the Democratic group Third Way, which has been leading the attacks against RFK and other third-party challengers for months. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks, Greg. Great to be here.
So RFK is now all over right-wing media, including tons of interviews with the top right-wing podcasters, people like Ben Shapiro and Megyn Kelly. Politico's analysis found that in 69 recent media appearances, nearly half were with right-leaning sources. Trump's campaign manager says this is concerning, and Trump himself has gone on tirades against RFK, seemingly fearing that voters could go to him. What's your immediate reaction to all this?
Well, I think it is very evident that RFK is deeply aligned philosophically, ideologically, with the MAGA right. That wasn't always the case for him. He has gone on a journey, apparently, personally over the last 20 years or so. But now, at this point, this guy is a conspiracy theorist and a right-wing crank. And so it's not surprising that he's appearing on all these right-wing shows and that they're heaping praise on him. I mean, Steve Bannon, Roger Stone, Tucker Carlson, Charlie Kirk, Alex Jones, and lots of others have said really nice things about RFK because they agree with him on a lot of issues. I think the reason Trump was lashing out last week was because there was one somewhat outlier of a poll by NBC showing that RFK might hurt him more than Biden. And anytime Trump feels like someone's hurting him, he lashes out. But I think the MAGA world thinks that RFK is a fellow traveler.
RFK really is getting a remarkable level of penetration in right-wing and MAGA media. I think this is pretty easy to explain in other ways as well. Most obviously, they like to have him on because he's a celebrity who draws eyeballs, right? They also like it when he bashes Biden and the Democratic Party, but there may be a darker motive here. I wanted to run this by you. This sort of exposure could help RFK raise money from GOP voters, which could then later help RFK in his quest to wound Biden, and that could help Trump. I mean, look, it's been reported that RFK is raising more money from Trump donors than from Biden donors, which isn't surprising. As you pointed out, one of RFK's biggest backers is Tim Mellon, the banking heir, who's given RFK's super PAC millions and millions. Right-wing media figures have to know that they're helping RFK raise money, right? Your thoughts on that?
Without a doubt. I mean, these guys have enormous followings, and these are people that give money online. And you don't have to be Tim Mellon to understand the high leverage value of giving money to a spoiler that could help your guy, Trump. And so even normal listeners of, you know, the War Room podcast or whatever these right-wing folks are listening to can easily see that if they help RFK, they're helping Trump. And that might be a more direct way of doing it than giving to some Trump entity that's probably going to spend their money on lawyers.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing how much they'll send to Trump's lawyers to begin with, but never mind that. So we're learning a lot about RFK right now, which you laid out in a pretty remarkable Twitter thread earlier this week. And as you point out, there's real overlap in the RFK and MAGA worldviews. We have the anti-vax nonsense, the hatred of the quote-unquote deep state, and more broadly, this idea that globalist elites are conspiring to do all sorts of terrible things. RFK has done these little videos where he voices these really, really remarkably lurid theories about the globalist cabal. And Steve Bannon has floated the idea of a Trump-Kennedy unity ticket. Trump himself has said positive things about that idea. I think it's BS, but whatever. RFK has said he might work in a Trump administration. I just want to know, how seriously do you take the unity ticket talk?
Not much. I'm with you. I think that's not going to happen. I do think that if RFK helps Trump win, and if RFK performs well, he certainly will help Trump, you could see him in the cabinet. He almost joined the Trump administration last time. He had a meeting with Trump in Trump Tower during the transition and was apparently going to take some job dealing with vaccines. But that was later, according to him, spiked by Alex Azar, who became the HHS secretary. This time, people like Roger Stone are seriously saying that Kennedy should be the secretary of HHS in a Trump administration. So I certainly wouldn't count that out if Trump, God forbid, were to win.
What on earth could go wrong with that? Let's talk about who RFK actually would hurt more and why we think it's Biden. I mean, look, even if there's overlap in the RFK and MAGA worldviews, it seems to me the threat to Biden is clearly greater because Joe Trippi said all this on here a couple weeks ago. But the bottom line of it is Trump probably gets 47% of the national vote, not much more. Biden has a chance at getting to 49, 50, 51, maybe a little higher if he can consolidate the anti-Trump, anti-MAGA majority behind him. But that's threatened if someone like RFK gives young voters, maybe some leftists, maybe some other disaffected voters, a way to vote against Trump while also registering their dissatisfaction with the system overall and with the two parties and with Biden. Does that sound right to you?
That sounds exactly right. The problem, as you and Joe have talked about, is that Trump's floor is hard and his ceiling is low. So that's both good. It's good for him to have a low ceiling, but it's bad in that people just don't leave Trump. If you like Trump, you stick with him. And it also means that Trump knows and his people know that he needs third parties to help him win. It's why he was able to win in 2016, because just enough voters, not very many, but just enough, abandoned Hillary Clinton to go to Jill Stein and Gary Johnson. And that got Trump over the line. My favorite statistic on this is in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, the three states that decided the election in 2016, had Hillary won those, she would have won. Trump won them and she lost. Trump lost them 4 years later, but his share of the vote in all three states rose from 2016 to 2020, despite winning the first time, losing the second. And that's because Biden's share relative to Hillary's rose more. They redistributed the third party vote to Biden's favor. And Trump understands that he needs something like that to win again. And Kennedy is the perfect stalking horse for him.
So let's talk about why we're seeing current polls showing, seemingly, in some cases anyway, RFK cutting into Trump's vote. I don't really take those polls seriously, but I'd like to hear you explain to me why it is that that's happening. In other words, maybe the question should be this, right? Why is the MAGA vote more likely to remain united than the pro-Dem anti-MAGA vote is, even though we're seeing polls right now that show maybe some disunity in the MAGA vote? Why do we not take those polls seriously? Why do we think that MAGA vote hangs together? What explains it?
Well, I think it's important to emphasize that it's very difficult to know for sure exactly which vote we're talking about, because we're talking about a very small, fairly idiosyncratic group of people in a very small number of places. And the data that we're talking about, this NBC poll that set Trump off, that's a national poll. That's problem number one, which is it's a very blunt instrument where you need kind of a scalpel. Problem number two is it was done in April, and there is always a gigantic mirage effect with third parties. They always perform much better in the spring than they end up doing in November, generally they go down by at least 50%. So if Kennedy is at, say, 10 points now, he probably ends up with, let's say, 5, 6, 7 points. That's a pretty small number of voters to parse. You only care about what's happening in the 6 swing states. Everywhere else really doesn't matter. And then you got to figure out what is moving them. Now, there may be a few that are super anti-vaccine and don't like the fact that Trump did Operation Warp Speed, even though he's been, you know, wishy-washy about the vaccine stuff lately. They may not like that. That could be a small percentage. But our fear is that most of the people that are going to end up with Robert Kennedy are low-information voters, people that are not listening to your podcast, although they should, who don't want to vote for Trump, are uneasy about Biden for whatever reason, as you say, his age or something. They see Kennedy, they see Shanahan, who's 38 years old, and that looks attractive to them. And so they go to that not knowing much about who this guy is.
And we think that with the MAGA people who might be kind of flirting with Kennedy now, these are people who maybe are unhappy with Trump for God knows what reason. They're willing to tell a pollster or two that they'll support Kennedy and not Trump, sort of in the same way that some voters on the left and in the Democratic coalition are. But in the end, those voters do get consolidated behind Trump, whereas the Dem voters don't. I just, what explains why that MAGA vote holds together, do you think?
Well, again, some of these people may have voted for, say, Ron DeSantis in the primary, and they just aren't ready to jump back on board the Trump train. But eventually, votes consolidate. That always happens. It's why you have this shrinkage for third-party candidates from the spring to the fall, because most voters recognize that they're going to throw away their vote if they don't vote for one of the two major party candidates. Only one of two people is going to be president. And Robert Kennedy's not one of those people. So what we worry is that the consolidation will be tighter around the candidate that has the stronger floor. And that undoubtedly here is Trump. Biden has much more upside potential, but his floor is very soft. There are people of all stripes, some who don't like Gaza, some are worried about his age, some are mad about something else, that are shopping around for something else. Most of them will stick with him, but a statistically significant number might not, and that's our real concern.
And why is that MAGA floor so firm?
That is a huge question, and I don't pretend to be an expert in this, but look, I think some of it... the word cult is bandied about the Trump politics all the time, but there is a kind of a cult of personality around Trump. People are drawn to him as a personality. And second is he is so polarizing, massively more polarizing than Biden, that if you're with him, you're with him. And if you're not with him, for the most part, you are not with him. So it is very difficult to be kind of half in and half out in Trump world, where it's very easy to be that way with Biden.
I think maybe what you're really saying here is that these voters who are generally pro-Trump but are telling pollsters that they'll go for RFK are in some sense not really as sincere when they say that as the leftist or Democratic voters are when they say it on their side.
I think that may be right. And look, the other thing to consider is that both Trump and Biden are going to spend something on the order of $1 billion in the swing states. And that is going to probably have an impact on voters there, whereas they're going to spend basically $0 in other places. So if you live in a very blue or a very red state, you're not going to see any ads for Trump or Biden. And so the kind of broad national polling numbers may not move quite as much, whereas the people who matter will not show up in the national polling because the numbers are too small, but they will show up in the balloting, and that's what we really have to watch.
I think your point about Trump's charisma is enormously important here as well. It's hard for maybe a lot of liberals to appreciate or accept this, but in certain twisted ways, Trump is really one of the most talented and charismatic politicians of our generation, and he is going to bring some of those people back, maybe in a way that Biden might not on his side, right? I mean, look, Biden is not as charismatic as Trump. I mean, I find his character to be far more admirable than Trump's, but when we're talking about raw political charisma, which is not the same as character, Trump's got that, don't you think?
Absolutely. There's no other explanation for the fact that he is currently leading the race for president, because it isn't his character. He is one of the most maligned characters ever to run for president, maybe number one at this point. It isn't his ideas. He doesn't have any. It isn't his principles. He doesn't have any of those either. The thing that people like about him is his performance. And you and I might find his performance abhorrent. I certainly do, and I'm sure you do too. But people who are drawn to it really like it. And he is an enormous personality, and he has honed his craft over the last 8 years or so, before that being on television for 20 years. And he's incredibly good at it.
No question about it. I will tell you, another thing I worry about here is the confluence of RFK and the Israel-Palestine war. I wonder if a segment of younger disaffected voters might see RFK as a way to register their unhappiness with Biden's continued support of aid to Israel, even amid all the horrors we're seeing in Gaza. Is that a worry of yours?
It is, for sure. I mean, we worry about everybody who should be voting for Biden who doesn't, and that's certainly, they're the loudest at the moment. Look, they need to take a look at RFK before they cast that ballot, because not only does he disagree with them on the Israel-Gaza question, but he disagrees with those people on basically everything that they care about, on reproductive freedom, on immigration, on guns, on even on the environment. I mean, he was for 20 years an environmentalist and ran an environmental organization, and he now is a climate denier. So this is a guy that has traveled a long way towards the right. And before anybody who regards themselves even a little bit as a progressive or otherwise as a Democrat casts a vote for him, we are begging them to take another look.
And this is where the fact that a lot of these voters who are in play in this way are low information really becomes pretty salient and important. By the way, I think it's plausible that Trump and his advisors are to some degree actually worried that RFK could hurt them. But I think that's mainly because no one really knows whose votes RFK will take. I think exactly. He probably hurts Biden more, right? He hurts Biden more for the reasons we went through, I think. But we don't know that, right? I mean, Trump's advisors could very well fear the sheer unpredictability of the RFK factor. I mean, I think they probably think they can win without RFK helping them. And maybe right now they're looking at some of these numbers and seeing RFK upsetting the apple cart or something. So maybe two things are true at once. RFK might hurt Biden more in the end, as we predict, even as Trump's advisors really are kind of alarmed about him right now. Does that seem fair?
Totally. I mean, look, they don't have any kind of magic ball that tells them the truth about where these voters are any more than we do. They're doing the same speculating on their side that we are. And it is true that a prominent poll came out a couple of weeks ago showing that he hurt them more. So I'm sure that raised alarm bells over there. But we will never know, frankly, exactly who those RFK voters would have voted for. I mean, there'll be exit polls and stuff, but they're very inexact. So in the end, we probably simply will never know, because this is going to be a very close election, and because the division between the RFK voters that might have gone for Trump or for Biden in the head-to-head is going to be pretty narrow. However, our view has always been, and you and I have been talking about this for more than a year, that anything that divides the anti-Trump coalition is dangerous and bad. And at the moment, he is the biggest threat to do that.
I think that's absolutely right. And that's the big picture. So what's the way out here? Democratic research I've reported on finds that RFK is very vulnerable if you point out to voters, including low-info ones, that the Kennedy family opposes his bid and endorsed Biden. So educating voters about that and about RFK's crackpot positions is a very big thing. But don't we really need Biden to take more proactive steps to unite the Democratic coalition and give some of these disaffected Dems a way back into the coalition? What's your reading on that? How much of this is on Biden to fix?
Well, look, in the end, he's the leader, and so it's all on him. The question is it possible to do? And I'm not convinced that at this moment it is. I mean, as we record this on Thursday, he just put out a statement about the protests, which I thought was very balanced and responsible and appropriate. And Biden's problem is that he has to run for president and serve as president, and he is a responsible adult and his opponent is not. So it would be much easier for him to unite the coalition if he was willing to take enormous risks with American security or with other aspects of his job, but he's simply not willing to do that. He is going to remain the guy he is, which is a responsible, pragmatic moderate. And in the end, my view is that that will be enough, that he will consolidate the base by reminding people how terrible Trump is and that he'll win this election, but it is going to be enormously scary and close.
Matt Bennett, thanks so much for making us feel a whole lot better today.
Thanks for having me.
Make sure to check out some really good new pieces we have up at TNR.com. Aria Nair arguing that the real quote-unquote outside agitators at these protests that we keep hearing about are members of Congress, and Catherine Caruso explaining the weird circumstances under which Pennsylvania taxpayers are funding discriminatory religious schools. We'll see you Monday.
You've been listening to The Daily Blast with me, your host, Greg Sargent. The Daily Blast is a New Republic podcast and is produced by Riley Fessler and the DSR Network.